All right, I think I'm going to open with a prayer because, you know, I just need God to do this for me. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. We're here, Lord, because you called us, because you called us into this house to be your people, but you've also sent us, Lord. And we thank you for everything that you do for us. Lord, I need your words so that I can bless your people. Let them not be my words, Lord, but your words. And let us all receive a blessing, Lord, and that your spirit would be with us. And we can go out there and change the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my story today is about Jesus. And the topic, you'll find out. It's not always an easy topic, but it's easier than some of the topics. So from time to time, Jesus would go to the temple and he would preach and teach and he would tell parables. And at this particular time in Mark chapter 12, if you feel like following along, Mark chapter 12, he gave a parable that to some was quite offensive. He offended the religious leaders. Sounds scary, doesn't it? I know from time to time we can be offended, but I think that I'm going to do my best to be on the right side of the religious leaders' side of this equation. And try and just see what Jesus is saying. He said that he had a vineyard and he rented this vineyard out to certain people and they were supposed to look after it. They were supposed to grow the grapes and they were supposed to take care of the property and sell them and make some money and pay their rent, right? When you rent something, you have to pay the rent, right? Interesting concept. Well, these people did not like paying rent. I don't blame you. I hate paying rent. You guys, anyone who owns their home, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You've got a home. You don't have to pay rent. Well, they had to pay rent, but they didn't want to. So the man, this is Jesus talking about himself, would send people to collect on his behalf. And they would go there and they would speak to these wicked men, putting it plainly, and they would say, no, we're not paying you. And they would beat the men that were sent to them and they send them back. And so he'd say, well, maybe he'll send some more. And he'd send two or three. And then they'd start throwing stones at them and rocks and getting them out of there because we're not going to give you anything. And finally, well, he says, they'll respect my son, the heir. I'll send him, and surely. Well, he sent the heir, and instead they said, oh, he's sending the heir. If we kill the heir, the property is ours. So they killed him. Well, what is the Lord going to do to those wicked vine dressers, those wicked people renting his property? He's going to destroy them. Well, Jesus, you know, he's a popular guy. He knows how to make friends, but he also knows when people are doing the wrong thing. And he called it out publicly. And the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees, the ones who are all fighting for the power in the church and the political power, no doubt, they didn't like the way Jesus was operating. And so they had to catch him, but they knew he was too popular. You know when somebody's popular, right? It's hard to get near them. There's a place in Africa called Uganda. I believe it's Africa. Don't get my geography. Right now, they're having an election. Now, we know all about elections. They're having an election in Uganda. There's the president who's been there for 35 years. And then there's the runner-up, a popular man. He's a musician. And the people love him. Who do you think is going to win? Well, the popular guy is obviously going to win. But then you have to make sure that the election is not so equal in order that the person who's always been in power stays in power, right? That's what's going on right now in Uganda. It's a terrible thing. It's not equality. This story is a little bit about inequality, but they decided that they would find a way to trap Jesus in his words, to steer the people away from him. If they could find a way to get Jesus to say something publicly that would make him be seen as an extremist or as a person who is not fit to be in charge, then they could turn the people against Jesus and eventually they could have the power back. Remember, they're offended. They have a reason to do this. Jesus, he has a way with words. He has a way of striking at the heart of an individual. So let's try and trick him. And that's where our story today comes from. Verse 13, and they sent unto him, unto Jesus, certain ones of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him, to try and trap him in his words. And when they were come, and when they came to him, they said unto him, Master. Now, here's people who despise Jesus. They don't like Jesus at all, and they're coming humbly before him saying, Master, Master, we know that you are true. You know, they're flattering him. They're trying to flatter Jesus, right? What do people do when they're trying to win you over? They try to talk you up a bit. They want you to sound really like it's a really good idea, right? They want to flatter you. Anytime somebody starts doing that, you know they're trying to sell something, right? You know it. Well, they said, we know that you're true and that you don't really fear any man, but teaches the way of God in truth. Like these guys care about that, right? They could care less. They're trying to trap him. So they have a question for Jesus. And it's the title of my sermon today. Is it lawful to give tribute or taxes to Caesar or not? Is it lawful? Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Interesting question. Interesting question. So if Jesus says yes, oh, I thought you were for the Jews. I thought you were looking to help our nation. And if he says no, well, I knew you were rebellious against Caesar. You're just like, he's trapped. He's trapped. It doesn't matter what he says, yes or no. They're going to get him. These guys are sneaky, right? Well, the title for my sermon today is Giving to Caesar. Giving to Caesar. Who is Caesar? Well, back then, Caesar was the Romans, right? The power, the authority over their country, the ones who were forcing them to pay taxes. That's who Caesar was. But who's Caesar for us today? Okay, I got a hand up over here. Who's Caesar? Close, close. It's probably spelt the same way. It's spelt the same way. We'll get that cleared up for you. Don't worry. Caesar, not salad. Caesar is the one who you're paying taxes to. In our case, it's the government of Canada or the government of Newfoundland or the municipality of Bay Roberts and the surrounding areas. We all have to pay taxes, right? That's what this is all about. Giving to Caesar and giving to God. Shall we give or shall we not give is the question. Well, you can answer that yourselves. Is it right for us to pay taxes? I really don't like paying taxes, right? You guys, we all probably don't like paying taxes. You get to the end of the lineup when you're going to the till. You've got all your groceries in the cart. You've calculated it out. And you're like, this one says $5, $4.99. Okay? You ring it through. All of a sudden it says $4.60 or $5.60. $6. What happened? Taxes, right? All these taxes, everything. And I come from British Columbia. Newfoundland and British Columbia, I feel like, are the highest taxes in Canada. I don't know if you guys are with me on this. BC, they tax your gas. They tax the tax on the gas tax. They double tax. It's crazy. Healthcare, you think it's free until you get a bill every month. Oh, it goes on and on and on. $1.50 for gas. I could go on and on about gas. It almost hit $2 a couple years ago in BC. Crazy. Crazy. It's all tax. Is it right? I feel like they're stealing from us sometimes. What does Jesus say? Well, first of all, Jesus is smarter than that. He knows what's going on. He knows their hypocrisy. He says, you hypocrites, why do you test me? What? Bring me some money. Bring me some money. Verse 16, and so they brought money to Jesus, and they said unto them, whose image and whose picture is on this money? It's simple, right? You take out the money. There's a picture, someone's picture. It's not your picture. It's the Queen of England, right? Or whoever. And he's saying, whose picture is on that money? Well, it's Caesar, right? Well, there's your answer. He says, give to Caesar what's due to Caesar. And give to God the things that are God's. What? He twisted it at the end there. You mean we're getting double taxed? Oh, man. While they marveled at his answer, he said yes and no at the same time. Now they can't trap him. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Have you ever noticed when you get your paycheck, unless you have a business, okay? Business owner is a little bit different. When you get your paycheck, you don't really get the opportunity to give to Caesar. Caesar just takes it, right? He just takes it. He doesn't ask. Thought you had $500. Nope, you don't. It's gone. And it's crazy. And what happens if you don't pay? It's bad. You can go to jail. They'll fine you. So you got to pay more on top of what you owe. They're never going to forget, right? They don't forget. It's like the banks. They don't forget. Well, it's interesting. Caesar does not ask you to take his portion. He just takes it. But it's interesting when you compare it to God. And you know where I'm going with this today. When you compare it to God, God doesn't take his portion. Isn't that interesting? Caesar takes it automatically. You don't get a choice. God, he's going to watch and see what happens. It's up to you, right? That's why Jesus says, give to God the things that are God's. Well, that's an interesting conundrum. And I know that it might be a touchy subject for some. It's been a touchy subject for me in my life, talking about giving and about money and taxes and stuff. When you don't have enough, it's a very touchy subject. And when you have enough, it seems easier, or you think it's easier. But it's sometimes you get a little greedy, right? Well, the things that are God's are God's. Now, what portion of our money is God's? The tithes, right? The tithes. Some of you might be adding the offerings on top of that. And you're right. The tithes and offerings belong to God. And this is where I'm going to change books of the Bible to Malachi, the one right before Matthew. And there's a section here that I'm going to go over. And it says about the tithes and offerings. Now, I'm going to try to make it simple enough for even the young minds to understand this. When you receive money, you have to pay tax, right? And then what's left over is your money, right? And out of that money, there's a portion that we are to give to God. It's a tithe, meaning 10%, one-tenth. Now, it's interesting that associated to the tithes and offerings, God does something. You might be following me on this, maybe not. God will bless his people accordingly. Now, as I brought out in the Sabbath school this morning, God's people are in a covenant relationship with him. That covenant was made at Sinai with his people. That's the old covenant. Now, in the New Testament, there's a new covenant. And so Jews and Gentiles, meaning the whole world, anybody, can be a Christian and be saved and go to heaven. But there's still a covenant. And the covenant is still made with blood. The old one was made with the blood of bulls and sheep and goats. But now the covenant that we're in with God is a covenant where a human being, Jesus Christ, died for this covenant. So he made a promise and he put his own blood on the line to keep this promise. So you know he's going to keep his part, right? Amen. Jesus Christ went all the way to the cross and died for our sake. That is his part, his end of the bargain. In this covenant, I could go on about the Sabbath being the sign and stuff, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the tithe, okay? So verse 6, he says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. "Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Beautiful. We're not consumed. Consumed means we're not perishing, we're not dying, languishing away. "The sons of Jacob," meaning the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob and Israel, are the same person. It's a name, two names for the same person. He had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. You following me? We are the Israel today, so therefore we claim this promise. We are the sons of Jacob. So he doesn't change. He still looks after us. "Even from the days of your fathers," or the ones in the wilderness, you have not turned away or turned aside from mine ordinances. Sorry. "From the days of your father, you have turned away from my ordinances and have not kept them." Interesting. You remember in the wilderness when God was working with them, they didn't really want to follow God. They didn't want to do what he said. They were out collecting manna on Sabbath and they were trying to keep it for 3 days. They just couldn't get it. He says, "My ordinances you have not kept. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts." Return? What do you mean? God, we're in church. We did return to you. Can we go any further? "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." Wherein is the question, shall we turn to God? And he says plainly here, will a man rob God? Well, I don't think anybody would want to rob God. I don't think anybody wants to steal from God. No. Many of us, that's not our intention. I've heard stories. I've heard of people putting their hands into the offering plate and taking away. I've heard things happening. But he's saying, will a man rob God? But you have robbed me. But then you say, how? Where did we rob you? And he says, in the tithes and offerings. You're robbing God in tithes and offerings. Well, I've paid a faithful tithe my whole life. Are you still robbing God? There's something wrong with that statement, isn't there? Those of you who may have heard a few sermons on this, do you pay tithe? Is that what it is? No. It's returning tithe, right? You're giving back to God. If you've always thought that you're paying tithe, like we pay taxes, okay? Nobody wants to pay taxes. We pay taxes. That's something we have to do. But we return a tithe. It's a little bit different, right? It means something different in your mind. If you are paying tithe, then you're doing that because you're obligated to do it and you don't care, you have to do it. And it's different, right? God is a God of love. He works on the heart, right? He wants you to do the right thing. Tithes and offerings, and because we don't return a faithful tithe or a faithful offering, you're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. The whole nation, myself included, we have robbed God of his tithes and offerings. Well, let's keep it simple. If we had $100, tithe would be $10, right? If you wanted to give an offering, the offering is then in your court, according to how you believe God is blessing you in your life. Maybe there's in your heart to give another $10. That's 20% of your pay. Maybe it's 5%. You know, this principle of tithe and offering is a principle that goes throughout the whole Bible. When people came to God, what did they give? A sacrifice. Every time they came to meet God, they would slay a lamb or a goat or a bull or a pigeon, or they would bring a drink offering or a grain offering. They always brought something to the Lord. Always. It's said in Ellen White's writings that the Israelites, the ancient Israelites, gave upwards of 25% of their paycheck to the church. Can you believe that? 25%? $25 on every $100 after they paid taxes to Caesar. Can you believe that? That's astronomical. That's faith. What does that do to a person? Well, it's interesting, you know, when you think about giving to God, giving to his cause, oftentimes we give out of our substance. And I'm going to go back to verse 41 of Mark 12. We give out of our substance, out of our abundance. Remember, it's easy for the rich people to give. Jesus was sitting in the tabernacle, in the sanctuary, and he was there with the people around him, his disciples around him. And he's looking at the treasury department, the place where people give their offerings. And he sat against the treasury, verse 41, and beheld, he looked and saw how the people would cast their money into the treasury. How are they doing it? Well, he noticed something. He noticed that many were rich, cast in much. Many of the rich people cast in a lot of money. You know, I don't know how much you make. Maybe you make a lot of money. Maybe you don't. Some do. It's easy to get in there. Oh, we've got 1,000 here, 1,000 there. I got, you know, we can start talking like that. Giving it to the church. Yeah, I've done my part. And then there came a certain poor widow. The widow, this old lady, she threw in 2 mites, okay? 2 halfpennies. 2 mites. She rubbed them together, said, Lord, it's all I got. And put them in there. And he called onto his disciples. He didn't want his disciples to miss this amazing feat. He said unto them, surely I say unto you that this poor widow has put in more than all of the people have put in to the treasury. For they cast out of their abundance, but she out of her want did cast in all that she had, even her whole life, her whole living. Friends, this act of faith is where I'm trying to bring home to the point of tithes and offerings. Many of us desire to give much, but we don't have a lot. And so after we went and bought our groceries and after we bought our gas and after we paid for our phone and our internet and our rent and our house and our bills, after all that is said and done, we say, I still got some for tithes and offering. I still got some to give to God. But Jesus is actually pointing it the other way around. He's saying that this lady was saying, I need my rent, I need my food, I need my clothes, I need to pay my bills, I need to pay my heat, but Lord, I don't have enough to do all that. I'm putting it all in for you. Do you get where I'm going with this? She didn't have enough. So she gave everything that she had, more than the 10%. And friends, you and I both know all of the money is God's money. Even yourself. You know whose image you reflect? You reflect God's image. He put his superscription, his face into you. You are the property of God. Do you think he's going to look after his property? Do you think he's going to look after his people that he's in a covenant relationship with, the ones that he died to save? Friends, he is. He is. He is going to look after you. There's no reason, there's no amount of poverty that exists that you cannot return to God what is his. So then it boils down to a couple of things. Either we don't know how much to give and how to give, or we don't believe God will look after us. It's a hard place to be, right? In our Sabbath school this morning, we learned about King Ahaz. Instead of giving to God, instead of having faith and exercising faith in God, he decided to put his faith in the world. He put his faith in the world. And the world treated him like the world always treats you, like a second-class person. They take, 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 and when you need what you paid for, you get the leftovers. You get nothing. Friends, it's a hard place to be, but I know each one of us wants to be in God's favor. We want to be on the right side of this equation. I believe that. I believe that each one of us here wants to be blessed by the Lord. That's why we're here today. That's why we're coming to church, why we've dedicated our lives to God. I'm not here to be the perfect example to you. I have to admit, I've made some problems in my life. There's been times where I didn't give. I didn't give tithe. I wasn't the example. Or perhaps I felt I didn't have enough. I said, God, I'm going to pay my bills first because I don't have enough. I've done that before. I've done that. But I want to tell you a story. And this is a true story that happened to me. And you may have heard it. When I was a brand new Christian, I think I had about $50. Now, if you know my history, it's been a rocky road up till this point, but we're getting better. It's getting smoother. So when I had my last $50, because I didn't have any work, this is 2012, I was broke after I spent that. Sorry, $100. It was $100. And I had no gas in my car. My phone bill was late. I was already late on the payment, and I didn't have any food in the fridge, but I only had $100. Am I going to pay the $60 phone bill? And am I going to fill up my tank for $60? Or am I going to spend $100 on food? What am I going to do? It's a hard place to be, right? Many of us have been there before, I'm sure. Well, a new Christian, brand new Christian, been in the church for maybe a month. I said, you know, I'm gonna see where this God thing goes. I know that if I don't have anything, I'll go home. My parents will feed me again. I'll just move back in. You guys are laughing, right? It's comical. But I said, no, I'm going to try something. I'm going to do something different this time. I came to church. I drove the last of my guests. You know when you're on E, the red line? I was on the wrong red line, okay? I was on the empty red line, not the 9,000 RPM one. I was on the red line, and it was going under, but I drove myself to church. I got into the parking lot, sitting in the pew. Now, I knew what I was going to do. I was very nervous. Because I'm like, this is it. I'm going to move back home. Got nothing. Can't eat today. I don't have any food. They're going to cut my phone. I'm going to get my car stuck at church. It's going to be so embarrassing. Well, the offering plate came through, and I took that $100 out. I didn't kiss it goodbye, but I basically said goodbye. Slam dunk in the plate. I said, I don't want to look at this. I can't look. And the offering plate went by. I said, Lord, it's in your hands. I can't do anything. Well, Francis and I were friends at that time, dating maybe. And she invited me home for lunch, which was nice. And so we managed to make it to her house the next, you know, it was like 3 kilometers away. Make it to her house, we're having lunch. I'm just like nervous on the inside. Her brother, I don't really know him that well. He's kind of an intense guy. He's taller than me too. It makes it worse. We don't talk. It's weird. He comes bursting out of his room. You know, like when you swing the door like super fast. Fred. I'm like, okay, what? What is it? Come with me. Just follow me. And he's like running down the stairs, putting his shoes on. I'm like, I can't go anywhere. I don't have any gas. My car's going to die on the side of the road. He's like, no. Just come. I can't. Just come. I said, okay, if I'm on the side of the road, you better pick my car up and haul me home. He's like, just follow me. So I get in my car. He drives fast. He's racing, and I'm trying to keep up with him. And I don't know where he's going. And he drives in, and he slows down. He turns right, hit the little speed bump, pulls right in to a gas station, goes to the pump, swipes his card, presses the premium button. I don't know why. It doesn't make a difference for a car that's, you guys know that. Grabs the thing, fills up my tank to the brim. And then, you know, like when it's full and then he goes click, 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 and it starts spewing out. That's what he did. And I'm just like scared. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. He's like, no, I was just laying there in my room, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit told me, you need to go take Fred and give him some gas. I said, are you serious? Yep. And that's what happened. So now that I got gas, I drove back to her house, and I said, well, this has been interesting. I'm going to go home now. Now that I have gas, I'm going to go home. Because I remember, I just went to church one way. I didn't have a ticket home. Drove home, and I get home, and I'm just like in shock, and now it's like 5 o'clock, the sun's down, and I get this text message, hey, Fred, can you, I need a favor, I said, one of my friends said, sure, what do you need? Oh, I need a ride to the bus station so I can get to the airport. I'm going to make some stops along the way. Well, yeah, sure, I can drive you. I've got gas in my car. I can pick you up. So I drove, you know, the hour to go get the person, and then I dropped them off at the station. And it was interesting because I wasn't really that close with this person. And as I was going to pick them up, they had their luggage and everything just on the side, and I went to go grab her luggage, and she said, "Here, I brought you some groceries because I'm going to the Philippines for like a few months and the food's going to go bad." She gave me 2 full bags of groceries to the brim, an entire salmon. It was like this big. And I just grabbed, I was like, "You bet." I got no food at home. I go and I'm walking over to my car, I put it in, and I come back, and I'm just about to grab her luggage, and she's like, "You know, I just want you to have this," and she gave me a check for $100. And I said, "What are you doing?" She's like, "I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit told me to just give you $100. And I burst into tears. Like even right now, I can feel the intensity of that moment when God rescued me. And from that moment on, I knew it's in His hands. 10%. What's 10%? He can have the whole thing. I could care less because He's taking care of me every single time. Nothing to worry about. It was shocking. It changed my life, in fact. I knew that Christianity was real. It was that experience of putting it all on the line for God that made the difference. "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Friends, there might be someone here today. There might be someone here today who didn't know what a faithful tithe was, didn't know what was our obligation as a Christian to do. I'm sure God will forgive you. I'm sure He forgives all of us. There may be some of you here today that even though you know, you're scared. Or you're not ready to dive in faith and ask God to look after you. There might be someone here today, but there also might be someone here today willing to take a step, a leap of faith, and say, "Lord, I know that this is yours. I know that I've been holding back, and I want to follow you, and I want to trust you even with my money." I know it's hard with a small congregation to make an appeal and everybody knows everybody else's business and all this and that. So I'm not going to embarrass anyone by making them stand. I think it might be best just to keep that in your heart. But my appeal for you today, as a person, you may be Christian, you might not be Christian. You might be in love with God or you might be estranged from God. It makes no difference. When you step out in faith to reach His hand in faith, He goes out and He grabs you not only by the hand but by your whole arm and pulls you right up out. He wants to transform your life today. Jesus can do that. So friends, in your heart, I ask you, I appeal to you in your heart, to make a promise to God, "I am going to put you first in my banking, in my tithes and offerings." That's my promise. Friends, I'm going to pray now. And many of us may be struggling or may not be struggling. It's up to you. As we pray, we'll ask His Spirit to dwell within us, to convict us and convince us of what His truth is. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, when you saw the people giving out of their abundance, Lord, And then you saw that lady give all that she had. You knew the difference of the hearts. Lord, she gave out of what she needed. She needed you to supply for her. But all of those people gave out of what they had left over. Father, help us. We are, at times, it's a difficult topic. At times, it's a difficult life to live, this Christian life. We think that everything is against us. Our family, our friends, our jobs, our society, everything, Lord. But as I myself personally have experienced, that your Spirit overrides everything. My prayer is for your people, Lord, that they would test you the same way, that they would see the truth of giving to your cause and going all in. Father, be with each one of us today and bless us, bless your people in the name of Jesus.